Hello and welcome to the Talk and Cover podcast. This is season 1, episode 5. I'm Jeff Aluzzi, your host for today. With me as always are Jansen, Reed, and Joe. Also with us today is the talented Max Royce, singer and guitarist from three great local alternative and punk bands, Poor Sport, The Requisite, and The Green Goes. You can check them out on the internet at facebook.com/poorsportmusic and www.therequisitemusic.com. Today on the show, we've got three live performances featuring Max. First up is a Requisite song called Squared. After a bit of a comfy squeeze and talk on the TNC couch, he'll be playing another song titled Meet Me at Dawn. Then Joe asks a gripping and important question about biblical sea monsters. I think we all learn a little something important, so pay attention. After that, we review the latest album from My Morning Jacket frontman Jim James called Regions of Light and Sound of God, and give it some arbitrary scores. To end the show, Max and Jansen play a cover of My Hero by Foo Fighters. And now, the magic begins.
This is Maxwell Royce of The Requisite, and you're listening to Talk and Cover.
On this road. Yeah,
wear it. Why not? No, wait.
Now do it.
Now do it, yeah.
You got a fear boner.
Fear boner. That would be an awesome band name.
We are fear boner.
Too much?
X is going to give it to you.
Why do you have DMX on your phone?
DMX?
Because DMX kicks ass.
DMX is our new.
I love DMX.
Yeah, DMX is awesome.
Like, for real, I actually really love him.
Yeah, so do I. I have some being on my phone. Not everything that I play is ironic. I actually really enjoy everything that I play.
So thank you to our new guest here. DMX will be our new intro music.
Yeah!
We're sitting here with Max Tigner.
Sure. I go by Maxwell Royce.
So, Jeff,
do you really?
I do.
When did that happen? Like, when did you decide this is what's going to happen now?
Well, I got my very first credit card right after high school, and after about the fifth or sixth statement for Mr. Pigner, I decided that I was going to start going for Maxwell Royce because that was a little easier to remember, and it did make me want to hunt down people and burn down the places they worked in. So, yeah.
Okay, so we're sitting with Maxwell Royce from The Requisite, Poor Sport.
And numerous other projects.
The Gringos.
The,
the Gringos and...
various other...
Anorexia and the Bulimics. What is it?
Anorexia and the Bulimics. It's an Irish traditional cover group that plays once a year at the Cozy Tavern in Kenmore.
On
St. Patrick's.
I was under the
impression... We're going to have to go there this year.
I'm playing banjo this year. We're going to have
really?
An upright bassist, an accordion,
whistle.
Wait, what do you not play? What instruments do you not play?
I'm a really bad harp player.
So that means who really has a good harp player,
not
though?
A good harp player. Bazooki.
Joanna
do
Newsom.
Not hand me a bazooki.
Joanna Newsom is a great harpist. That's right.
So you can check out Max's music on myspace.com/therequisiteband and myspace.com/poorsport.
What about?
Well, you should probably do that with Facebook instead because I think, actually, to be honest, I'm fairly certain MySpace is phasing out all of our stuff because they have new MySpace.com.
We talked about
that's not going to stay.
No, they're phasing. I know my personal music page has been taken out. It's gone.
Oh, wow.
And I'm pretty sure the Gringos page is gone.
So go to facebook.com/therequisite
and
then facebook.com/poorsportmusic. Okay, there you go.
In your requisite, you guys just have a new actual like website design out now, so
yeah,
there's something to go to.
Right, yes.
If you don't like the social networks.
Right.
There's the people out there.
That website's awesome, by the way.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we're actually in the process of revamping it right now so we can make it a little more interchangeable so we can put new stuff on there because it hasn't been updated in a long time.
It's pretty, though.
Well, thank you.
See,
it's pretty.
Pretty's the name of the game. Man, it's probably Justin Timberlake's fault that MySpace is just, you know, they're phasing everyone out.
Usually everything is Justin Timberlake's fault.
Is our old band page still there?
I haven't looked at that in a while.
I downloaded some Prawns music not too long ago.
From the Bandcamp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bandcamp is good. Do you guys have a Bandcamp?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, that's a real good one.
Wait. Okay, so what sites are actually used nowadays to really promote music? Because I feel like we've been out of the game for a while. Joe, you'd probably know a little bit.
I like SoundCloud.
SoundCloud, Bandcamp, and what's the other one I see? Tin Music or something? You ever seen that one?
I see people listening to stuff on Spotify.
Yeah. Spotify works, yeah.
I don't know anything about that, but...
Yeah, Spotify is actually kind of sweet. Like, they're randomly... Like, we're actually starting to get paid for it more, I realized. You know, like, because you get paid, like, a couple of cents per play or something.
Hmm.
And I noticed that we're actually starting to get paid for those.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
So how do you end up getting your music on there?
It's through the same distribution company that we used to get on iTunes. That's what we did.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Credibility.
All right, well,
on that note...
Wait, so I know you've had The Requisite around for a while, but it's taken a couple different forms. How long has this formation of The Requisite been around now?
We've been a band as we currently exist for a little over a year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
With all the current members, the lead guitar player and I, Josh, have been doing it for 2 years, and I started the band almost 4 years ago. So it's gone through a lot of lineup changes, and actually, this is still kind of up in the air. I don't know for sure, but our old dear guitar player, Josh E. Cole, might be moving to Bellingham to pursue a physics degree.
Oh,
Josh
no.
Cole, what are you thinking, my friend?
We love him, and we hope that he is denied and all of his dreams are dashed so he can stay with us forever, constantly delivering pizzas for Pagliacci's, because that's just what you're good at, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real. Josh is probably, like, you know, just the least useful person in the band, you know.
Well,
like,
yeah. I mean, he plays guitar.
Yeah, Jack, you got... Yeah, Chris, you guys are good with that. They're good without you, Josh.
Jansen's gonna replace you.
Clearly, I've been looking for a gig now, and now it's just that this is just my time. Your time's up.
All the lead on that My Hero cover, that was Jansen. He's coming for
you. I'm surprised we could pull that off.
Yeah, you didn't mess it up one time. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Messing up's the name of the game for me.
But really, now we'll see. The lineup seems to be ever changing with time, but this has definitely been the longest we've ever had a solidified lineup before.
So what's the project that you're working on right now?
I mean, The Requisite is an ongoing thing. I mean, we're recording at One Shot Studios in Woodinville, trying to get our full length recorded with Dylan Fant.
Is that what the Meet Me at Dawn song is from?
Yeah, we have the songs that we have up right now that are full band recordings, Diaphanous Ardor and Meet Me at Dawn, were recorded there. And we're also going to be releasing another one called Two Fifths as a music video once that's completed.
Mm-hmm. Which we did just hear a preview of. And just say
it sounded pretty cool. It was alright. It was alright. It was okay. But,
okay.
But yeah, so I've been doing that a lot. We have a show coming up on the 22nd where we're playing on an Argosy cruise ship opening for a guy named Dylan Jacobson.
I saw that looks so cool.
I'm really pumped for that.
So how did that come about?
Yeah, how did
that I'm curious how it was like, yeah.
Dylan's people got a hold of our people, which means Dylan's people got a hold of me, and asked us to play, because I'd thrown a request his way a while back to see if he wanted to play a show with us, but he was unavailable. But it really, you know, he listened to our tunes and really liked it and really wanted to play with us, and so he invited us out to open, so... That'll be really cool. There's only a couple tickets left, and you can only actually get on the boat if you buy a pre-sale ticket. So if you're interested in that, you should go scope it on Facebook.
Is it a booze cruise?
Regrettably, no.
Oh.
But there's a bar.
They didn't say you could.
Oh, there's a bar. Okay.
It's a non-alcoholic bar.
Oh.
Because this is an all-ages event, and so you can go and pay for rock stars and Coca-Colas and...
Which are fantastic.
Pepsi Clears and all that stuff.
They didn't say you couldn't drink and then show up.
They
actually checked BAC before you got up.
Yeah, I have no comment on that. I have to play, so I will be in top form for my opening set there, but there are large cavities in the back of my amp. In any case.
Yeah, well, that's the things you have to go through being a musician.
It's the truth. You got to make it happen. But yeah, so it's really just that. This Friday, my punk band, The Gringos, we're playing up in Everett at Tony B's Garage on Hewitt. And then, actually, the following Friday on the 16th, or maybe it's a Saturday, is the 16th. My new band that I'm working in, Poor Sport, is playing there as well. So.
Now, wait, how did you get mixed with Poor Sport? Because I know they've been around for a while now, and...
Yeah.
There's this big announcement, and then... Yeah, Max is up singing now for them.
Yeah, it's super crazy. The very first band that I ever got into when I was, like, 12 years old was called Who's Your Daddy? And it was...
Nice.
That was Poor Sport before they became Poor Sport.
Really?
Yeah. They were
and now you end up singing for them?
And they were my favorite local band, and actually there's a picture of me with my very first guitar wearing a Poor Sport shirt, like, as I'm learning to play and stuff, like, scoping their songs and whatnot. And then, I worked with Skeeter and Ben at Canelli Keys Music, and they know my father, who used to work there as the lead repair tech guy. And they just they needed a new singer because their old one was bowing out for reasons having to do with having four children and lots of life going on and not being able to pursue the band as heavily as the rest of the members wanted. I mean, like right now we're it's kind of knock on wood hoping that it goes through, but we're being considered to open for Bad Religion at Showbox Soto.
Wow, that'd be cool.
And like, yeah, it would be super awesome. And we're in works with Mike Thrasher for the next big punk show that comes into town. We're going to be on that bill. So, and we always, apparently, Poor Sport, I've yet to have the opportunity to do it, but all the guys in Poor Sport are really good friends with the guys in MXPX, and so we get to play with them. There are two annual shows every year, so.
Man, I haven't heard Chick Magnet in some time.
and even their MXPX's latest album is really good, too.
I did actually listen to it. I can't. Exactly what I remember from it, but I legitimately always enjoy it.
Yeah, my career is a beast.
So, I mean, what's the punk scene like nowadays? Because since you're playing a number of punk bands now, and I know kind of like when we were junior high, that was a big thing for us, but I guess it's just, I don't know, I don't hear much about it anymore. So what's it like nowadays, especially here in Seattle?
To be totally honest, like with The Requisite, our biggest problem is like navigating the music scene and post-music scene Seattle. Like, there's really not a lot of camaraderie or...
Yeah, that was actually kind of, like, what I was wondering. Is because, like, because bands that are already established in, like, the hardcore and punk scenes will come up here,
man,
you know, and play. But, like, I don't really know how does it work with, like, actual local bands?
Well, that's the thing. Is, like, with punk bands, like, specifically the Gringos, and, like, really, 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 I got immersed into it pretty heavily. That there is a really closely knit group of local bands that everybody is just very supportive and doing house shows, and it's all very DIY and family oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't really seem to carry over a lot into a lot of the other genres of music that I play, at least I've noticed. It seems that, like, the local punk scene, and then I don't really have a lot of knowledge on the topic, but it would appear that whatever the local metal scene is seems to also have that going for it.
Mm-hmm.
When I used to tell people that, oh, I'm in a hardcore band, and then people be like, oh, cool, you're in, like, a band where kids wear short jean shorts and, like scream a lot.
Is that what it's like now?
And I was like, wait, no, I don't mean hardcore like new hardcore. I mean hardcore like Black Flag, like old 80s hardcore. And like, oh, that's old school punk. Hardcore is something different now, I guess. But
yeah, hardcore is like post-hardcore now.
Yeah.
Well, what's post-hardcore?
Post-hardcore is like...
That's screaming. Yeah.
So there needs more pterodactyls.
Post-hardcore is just screamo, pretty much.
Screamo.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so, it's... it's a way easier to get shows and to book things. Like, for instance, the Gringos in June... We have some buddies that were in a band called Bad at Best. No. What were they called? I don't remember. Now they're called...
Not important.
I don't remember. Now they're called Start a War, but they're down in Portland. It's them and another band called 48 Thrills, and they just got a hold of me the other day and was like, hey, we want to come up like June 15th and play a show. Can you help us out? We'll set up a show down here in Portland the day before, and we can do like a little mini two-day stint. I was like, all right, cool. And so I called the Kraken, which used to be the Galway Arms,
uh-huh.
and... Yeah, and Kat there was like, oh yeah, sure, let's just do that. I was like, all right, so super easy. But then with like the Requisite, for instance, you know, we're just trying to get on bigger bills and get in front of more people, because there's not a lot of people. Was like, oh hey, you are also an indie alternative pop folk infused band.
You have the coffee houses, and you have that's it, I guess.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
I mean, like, and our band is so, it's like, the Requisite's gotten so big sounding.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it used to be that Josh and I, when we were just a duo, we would play coffee shops all the time, but now it's just matured into something so much larger that we can't really play smaller venues like we used to. And so it is now more making a point to play places like El Corazon. And
right, and you can do the bar circuit, too.
Right, yeah, a lot of the local bars. We have a show in March with a band called Pacific Nomadic, and they're really, really cool. At the Blue Moon, so I'm looking forward to that.
Blue Moon's cool.
Because, I mean, I saw you guys at Comet Tavern, and, I mean, the bar was not very crowded, but you guys just blew that place up. I mean, that's what you're talking about, that big sound.
Yeah.
I mean, that can just, that sound carries. It's awesome. That's pretty sweet.
Thank you.
All right, so let's see, what else?
Did you have any more questions, Joe?
Joe, you said you had some band comparisons that I am curious to hear.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, yeah, on the Meet Me at Dawn song, I was wondering if you've ever gotten a Panic at the Disco comparison before.
You know, the closest I've gotten, I've been told that I sound similar to Patrick Stump, the singer from Fall Out Boy.
We've got a new album coming out soon.
Yeah.
and the singer from Bare Naked Ladies, the 90s Canadian pop band.
Okay,
still relevant.
Yes.
Huh.
Yes.
All right.
I love that. I love those guys. But yeah, so not specifically Panic at the Disco, and I won't actually, I couldn't take offense to that. I recently had the drummer from Poor Sport show me a video of them performing live.
They're actually really good.
Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah.
The lead guy, I think it's Brendan Urie, I
mm-hmm.
think is the singer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, oh, this song goes out to all the dads in the audience who brought your daughters to come listen to our music. And they played Carry On My Wayward Son flawlessly. Guitar-wise, note for note, harmonies, note for note,
mm-hmm.
and it kicked ass. It was super good.
I'm sorry.
Wait.
I'm just giving you shit, man.
Oh, darn it.
We got you, man. But can they play Carry On Wayward Son on
Guitar Hero
is the real question. I played Guitar Hero for the first time in years yesterday, and I'm not very good.
Really?
Yeah, I had my first foray into Rock Band, and it was just like, this game is stupid.
That's not realistic.
But I will say, I was old and crotchety style about that for a long time, but I just recently met a couple guys who are in bands locally that are doing pretty well, and they're actually very good musicians. And I just found out, I was like, oh yeah, I started playing drums because of Rock Band. Like, what? Really? He's like, oh yeah, my buddy, he started playing guitar because of Rock Band.
Well, it's pretty awesome how these rhythm games, whether it be whatever, Dance Dance Revolution, getting people to dance, or...
Right, and obviously it didn't teach them specifically, but that's what got them interested enough to actually go and pick up a real guitar.
Well, it's kind of like, it makes you feel like you're a rock star, even though you're not actually doing it, so...
Wearing your whitey tighties in your mom's basement, and you just kind of eating your Team Cheerios. And...
There's nothing wrong with that.
And then it gives you practice with rhythm, which a lot of people is the killer that keeps them away from music, because they can't keep the rhythm.
And that's the main thing that you get out of it, being able to move, you know, move fingers, and then just keep that little tempo.
Okay.
What are you looking at? Are you looking at the agenda?
Yeah.
We have an agenda?
Yeah. Well, we try to, and then we loosely follow it and just kind of go wherever it takes us.
All
right. Wait, were you a gamer growing up? Out of curiosity, because I know you're not a fan of Guitar Hero now, but...
Well, PlayStation 2 was the sole reason why I failed my first class in 10th grade.
Which class was that?
It was English with Mrs. Freeman. It was like her first year of teaching there.
Wait.
I'm pretty sure.
Wait, what grade was this?
I was in 10th grade, so you would have been in 11th grade.
Yeah, back in high school. Wait, alright, PlayStation 2, what was it, though? There has to be, like,
I had, like... When I went and finally traded everything in, I traded in like 80 something games with it.
Jesus.
I was like,
what? Oh my god.
Like most of the games, I owned them.
Most of them.
Crash Bandicoot, Spyro the
Dragon. There was no Crash Bandicoot.
PlayStation 2.
You still played a PlayStation. You still could have played the PlayStation 1 version.
It was all about like grind sessions.
I know what I'm talking about.
Grind sessions. Yeah, bro. I played my share of video games. It was between that and the N64.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
One of my big ones. I never did beat Donkey Kong 64. That always pissed me off.
I don't think a lot of people beat that.
I got
song.
To the freaking thing with the alligator, and I could never figure out how to get inside. It was just pent up frustrations. I'm sorry.
All right, so do you have any shows coming up in the very near future? I know you think you mentioned a couple of them.
Yeah.
So what were the dates
on
those ones?
To be in chronological order, this coming Friday, the 8th, is Tony V's and Everett with the Gringos, if you're into skate punk or like early sounding thrash metal. And then the Saturday after that, which I believe is the 16th, is also Tony V's and Everett, but that's with Poor Sport, and that's like older sounding pop punk music.
Melodic
punk. And then I believe it's the week after that, is the 22nd, is Friday, and that is the Boat Show, with Dylan Jacobson, Shoreline Drive, District, and the Requisite is opening. So.
All right, because I'm definitely going to be showing up for those. All right, and then you've also, I was going to like act like you were going to play these songs that you've already played for us now, but what were the songs that you just performed for us live in studio?
live
inside
in living room.
Jeff's living room.
Hey, there's an excellent view from the studio. It
looks like a real city out there, doesn't it?
It really does, but it's just wooden.
This is how we seduce you into coming in.
I know, this big comfy couch, and what's in this Rainier? But anyway,
it's working. It's working.
Not like this. No, the songs that I sang. The first song that I sang was called Squared, and the second song I did was called Meet Me at Dawn, and you can actually hear both of those on our Facebook page. There's an acoustic version of Squared, and then a full band and an acoustic version of Beat Me Down. And then Jansen and I rocked out to some Foo Fighters doing My Hero.
Which band was the songs you played? Which group was that for?
That was from The Requisite.
All right, so we got two songs from The Requisite, and then Max and I rocking out hardcore My Hero.
And I did One Harmony Line, so don't forget that.
If you turn the music real loud, you'll hear Jeff in the background just failing.
And it's not even poop sounds. It's like actual harmony.
Well... those were supposed to be silent.
Those were
true. We'll see.
Mr. Maxwell Royce, thank you for joining us today, and please come back and jam with us anytime.
Thank you for having me. I certainly will.
Boom. Listening to songs from The Requisite. Huzzah!
Where are we going?
Memories?
Yeah, it's rolling.
All right. we can see it.
Someone has to Spider-Man it in the corner.
Is it going?
Yeah, it's going.
Wait, did that hurt? Did that...
Yeah, that's
wow,
not
dude.
Bad. No, I didn't hit anything. But I just figured this is about as much cab room as I have.
No, look at
I'm just kidding. No, it's great.
God.
Okay.
Gaw!
Gaw!
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
So this week we all listened to the Jim James album Regions of Light and Sound of God, Jim James from My Morning Jacket.
So,
what did y'all think?
Joe, I want to hear what you think.
Yeah, let's hear what Joe
thinks. Which excites
Joe.
Joe, you listened to the album this week?
Yeah, I did.
You listened to it every week. Except last week.
Oh, you guys are putting so much pressure on me. It's going to give me gayest.
Oh, jeez.
Pressure.
Jeez.
Okay, I really liked it, dude. I don't know. Like, I'm not the hugest My Morning Jacket fan, and I really liked just, like, I thought it was just a really beautiful album, like, from front to back. And the, was it, like, the eighth track that's, like, called All's Forgiven? Is that what it's called?
Is that the second to last one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah,
that song is incredible, dude. Like, it has, like, this Middle Eastern vibe to it, and he's talking about really heavy Christianity and Muslim stuff, and... It's sick. I'm all about it.
Come on, Jansen.
Jansen laughs at the word Muslim for some reason.
No, his ball is making...
His balls are making noise.
I'm sitting on an exercise ball.
Is that recording?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going up and down and such, and making the go.
Oh. We did...
So, I think that the people of America don't know how to find... America on a map because such
yep.
as
the Afghanistan
and the Iraq
for the future
for and
children.
Children map America
such as
so I also like the album a lot. I thought it was great. I'm not like I like My Morning Jack, but I don't listen to them that much, and I thought this was one of those you know specific instances where the solo, because he's like the heart and soul of the band, I assume, right? Yeah. So it's one of those things where he can leave the band and make just as solid effort as the rest of the band can. Although he has more dynamic diversity in his songs than I feel like the band does.
See, I fucking love My Morning Jacket. In case people don't know this, they're easily one of my favorite bands.
Here's all the anger. All the anger's
all
coming
the anger.
Out.
And they've been neglected by most people I know. And
I've never really given
they've never been given the respect. I gave one of their CDs to somebody who we all know, but I won't mention his name. I gave, they have an
Usurper.
Album called Z, which is like one of the best albums.
Which album?
Ever.
Which album did you give?
Z.
Oh, yeah, that is.
And this person never listened to it. I gave this person this.
Not everyone wants to go out of their way to listen to some band they don't care about. And
actually, I'm pretty sure I lent it to them and I just never got it back. But either way. Mm. Anyway. Obviously I love this album. You can hear, the thing about My Morning Jacket is they're from Louisville, Kentucky, and if you listen to their very early stuff, their heaviest influence is just Southern rock.
Alternative
and,
country kind
and
of thing.
Certainly alternative country, Leonard Skinner, and that type of thing, and they still have elements of that, but Jim James has kind of taken the band to a lot of other places, and musically, I mean, you just can't, you don't know what you're going to get. The most recent My Morning Jacket album, Circadal, was much more sort of raw, or I don't know if raw is the right term, but it was very scaled back, more acoustic-y, that type of thing. The previous album, was just all over the place. They did, you know, like 70s ballad kind of stuff. I mean, they just do everything, so I just think Jim James is kind of in a different place musically.
A.K.A. Yim Yams.
Yim
Yams.
Yim Yams.
I love the fact that it has, it just seems to have like a, someone said it to me, like an old-timey feel, mixed with almost an electronic groove, which is
It did kind of sound like a 70s, like,
there's a lot of old sample
Floyd
sounds
thing.
That it sounds like. Mm-hmm. And like the opening song, State of Art, or the State of the Art, A-E-I-O-U.
Yeah.
I think that's my favorite track on the old. It's got that piano riff and how he just uses the vowels.
Did you guys see the music video for No Till Now?
No Till Now. That's the second song.
So that's been out for a couple months. And when I saw it, I mean, that music video is Literally, it's a shot of him, his back, on this white backdrop. He's wearing, like, a black suit. And that's the entire bit. But it's, there's something about it with that song where it just works, and that it's the simplest video ever made.
And you like his backside. You like Jim Gaines' backside.
Let's not sugarcoat it.
I
definitely think the album is much better than I expected, and it still has that whole My Morning Jacket feel without being My Morning Jacket, which is, I mean.
Don't say it's good that it's not My Morning Jacket. But it's
I'm not going to say I love My Morning. I love My Morning Jacket.
Well, yeah, can you compare it to the whole band? Like, what is the differences that you know since you are?
There's less solos.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're very jam-heavy on their albums, and especially live. The way they set up their live show is.
Sorry.
I didn't hear it.
Max just had an orgasm.
I thought you were thinking about jam.
jam.
The thought of jam is all it takes.
Giving me a clue.
I'm getting such a clue right now.
Let's follow your clue. Watch your clue go on my clue. Anyway.
All right. So, all right. If we had to rate the album, read on a scale of 1 to 10.
9.7.
Give it a 9.7. That's the highest score that we've
given.
Well,
what am I gonna do? Not give it.
Wait, what did he give Kendrick? Is that more than Kendrick?
No, we never reviewed Kendrick.
Yeah.
We said that was our favorite album.
Kendrick would get a 10.
Oh, okay, he would give it a 10. Okay.
10?
Kendrick
okay.
Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar.
Fine.
That's like if Jesus made an album.
Maybe Jesus did make an album, and maybe his name is Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah,
I can see.
I give this album 8.9.
Wait, what'd you
I set the bar so high so that you guys will be like nervous about it.
No, I was gonna give it an
8.9.
It was good.
I'm pretty sure I always give a score around Jeff's score for some reason, but that's just how I roll.
That's what you said too? You said
I didn't give it a score.
Oh, it's Joe's turn.
Joe.
Oh yeah, mine is just a flat 9.
Ooh,
and that's
flat
actually
nine.
That's actually like I don't know, like I'm not a fan of solo albums a lot of the time when bands like the lead singer, because he's always just like, oh, this is my solo album, guys. Like, look how awesome I am.
It sounds
but
like the band.
Yeah, and it's just never as full and as good, and it's always just kind of gimmicky and lame. But this was actually like a full concept kind of album. It all made sense that he did it. It was like there's actually a reason why he made the album.
Mm-hmm.
It's just awesome. It's good.
All right, Max, if you had to guess, like, what you would consider this album, we have Max still here with us.
I've been listening to a lot of One Direction lately. If it's anything like what I'm hearing on Kiss 106.1, then it's probably pretty good. No, I honestly really haven't given My Morning Jacket an honest to goodness, like, legitimate listen. And the only actual frame of reference I have is that I once saw an episode of American Dad.
That's exactly what it's from!
With My Morning Jacket. I was like, man, I should look into these guys because all the music they use in this episode is really kick ass.
No, I think just from what I know from you, what I've seen you play, I think you'd be a big fan.
Would you consider them to be like a post-rock band?
No, I wouldn't. I would say that they may tie some elements into their music like that, but no, I would not put it
okay,
in the
stuff
the
I've heard is, seem, like, the very little bit I've heard seems like it's very large and ethereal and orchestral and how it's...
At times. It's almost, I get like a Pink Floyd type thing where they kind of...
Sometimes it's riff heavy, sometimes it's big and
exactly.
Mushy.
Yep. Exactly. All right.
Well, then I'd probably give it like... like a 7.4.
7.4. 7.4. I mean, yeah.
7, I've never heard him, just based on...
That's pretty good for never heard the band.
Never heard the band. Never actually listened to a song from start to finish, unless there's a hit that I don't know the name of.
That's fair.
Okay.
I would also give it a straight 9.
Straight 9.
All
right.
Straight 9. I'm not going to sure
you
got it, but I dug it.
No,
Silent all right.
Green is people.
Wait. Green, sit down. We're having an encore interview with Max here because I took away some of Joe's questions that he had so eloquently prepared. And
it's okay.
No.
Joe's crying.
No, Joe's crying just a little bit. But I
can believe
the clubs
because
the
Max
amongst yourselves.
Max hasn't run away in fear yet of us, so now I feel like it's
they're keeping me here.
I feel it's an excellent time now to get these off our chest.
Okay.
Get off
well,
my
really,
chest.
It was just, it was
get
just,
these off our
really,
chest.
It was just one epic question.
That was the only one we talked about it off mic.
Yeah, that's all it was just one epic question. Are we doing it again?
Well, can you, all right, can you give this shit?
Nah,
yeah.
Don't bother. Just cut it.
Okay,
I'm just kidding.
I'll just tell the audience right now, if the Leviathan existed, I would slay it.
Well, okay. This actually, we could ask the whole group right now this question, and everybody could give a quick answer what they would do.
Oh, okay. All
right.
Would that be new and
that's
exciting?
That's new. Yeah,
that's fresh.
All right.
I'm hipping with it.
Okay, Joe.
Okay, this is the question, everybody. Okay. Epic.
Wait.
Question from Joe.
Epic question from Joe.
Epic question from
okay.
Joe.
If right now.
Are you in the queue with the epic
music? Hold on,
theme
song.
Yeah,
theme song.
This is really...
Max is giving me a theme song.
This is going to go really well. Wait for it. Go.
Okay. If you were to turn on the news right now, and you saw that a Leviathan had swam across the Pacific Ocean from Japan and is now terrorizing Seattle, downtown Seattle, ripping down buildings, eating children... What would you do right now, at this very moment, if that was what you saw on the news? Ready, set, go. We'll let Max give his answer.
In a world where one man fights to survive. No, okay. No, I would... I told... When I was asked this before, I said that I would go home and get my battle-ready war axe that I purchased off the internet, made out of 1060 carbon steel... that's actually fully functional, and I would get into my Scion, and I would go down to do battle with it. I would either do that, or I would flee over the mountains to Wenatchee to hide with my grandma and grandpa. One of the two.
Okay, Reed, go. What would you do?
So we were watching Cloverfield the other night, and I think Jeff and I agreed at the time, Jeff may have an answer, that we'd probably just find something to hide under. And so I'm guessing that's what I would do, and probably poop myself.
I'd go find a basement and poop myself with Reed.
Jensen, what would you do?
I would pleasure the Leviathan. Specifically with this head massager.
Oh, yeah.
It absolutely does wonders.
It's
and I'm
called
sure
the Orgasmatron.
It's called, apparently, according to Holly here, the Orgasmatron.
Oh, don't get
me. Holly didn't want credit for that, but she got it anyways. And I'm sure the Leviathan would become friends with us.
Holly, what would you do?
I would run away. With
right,
Jack.
Where'd you run away?
I'd go up to Marysville and hide with Ben in summer.
To Marysville?
Yeah.
It's far away from the water.
It's very far away.
Oh, Joe, man. What would you do?
Yeah, man, well, the thing is that, like, if it's just in Seattle, like, that's still, like, 10 minutes away from where we are right now. I would just probably hang out right here and just kind of, like, gauge it. You know what I mean? I'd definitely, like, pay attention to the news.
Like a forest fire, just kind of be like, well, I'll leave if it gets close.
Yeah, because, like, really think about it, you know, like, it wouldn't...
I would leave. I mean, I personally
yeah, why would it bother with
yeah, but the thing is
can
that...
I'm going to revise mine and say, apparently I'm going to knock Joe out, and then we'll put him in the car, and then we'll go.
Yeah,
okay.
Joe will be like, you'll be like that guy when Mount St. Helens erupted.
But
just,
this is the thing, though, is that I-5 and all of our highways would all be packed.
That's true.
Like,
they would
yeah,
be,
so
they would
what
be
would
packed.
You really do? Like, you could just go hide in the woods. That might be kind of smart.
Oh, the woods.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking I would hide in a basement somewhere, like, close by.
Go
but
hide in the ruins.
Yeah. Well, Leviathan won't go anywhere near Reed's. Beep, beep.
Okay. Well, this has been a good night for me.
Well, that's it.
Signing off.
There's the show. Talk and cover, everybody. Thanks, Max.
All right. This is Mobile Abortion Clinic from our album Triplets for the Price of Twins.
I'm gonna mess this up.
Oh, darn, so am I. Yeah, okay.
We got this now.
There goes my hero. He's
Boom.